Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Pastor Lawrence.
Brothers and sisters, a very happy New Year 2023, and also a blessed Lord's Day. Indeed, it was very rare that we find New Year on a Sunday. But thank God, New Year is on a Sunday, we can actually have a combined service, you know, the body of Christ together as a corporate body worshipping the Lord. And also, because it's on a Sunday, last night, many of us are here concluding the year 2022, worshipping the Lord, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. It was really, really a very wonderful experience. Less than 24 hours, many of you are here. And now you are here too, worshipping the Lord. It is really very wonderful. So last night, we closed the year 2022, giving thanks, worshipping, glorifying God, and listening to His word from Psalm 90 and also Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. And God's word exhorting us to number our days, to really live our days well, applying godly wisdom to our living. Live circumspectly. Live very carefully according to God's word, and also redeeming the time. Indeed, it is so wonderful, you know, to be able to worship God very often. Now, this afternoon, I want to continue with the theme of godly, wise living. And our scripture passage is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Now, before we look into God's word, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we thank you that we can begin the year 2023 worshiping you and hearing your word from this passage, Colossians 3, 12 to 17. O God, you are the most powerful God, and you are the potter that can make us to be beautiful and useful for the glory of your name. O Lord, I plead that you will empower me as I deliver your word. And hide me, O Lord, behind the cross. And may your word convict the hearts of all the listeners so that they may live a transformed, Christ-like life, bearing testimony, impact people for Jesus, and ultimately giving glory, honor, and power to you, God. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Now, thank God, comparing to the last 2 years, while we were very much restricted, unable to sing praises to God, putting on our mask, social distancing, we thank God that though the pandemic is still around, in fact, it will never go away. But we have learned to live with it. Now, many things transpired during those times. Change due to the unprecedented pandemic. Well, some positive, some negative. But as God's people, we know that God is sovereign. He is in control. And ultimately, all things will work together for His purposes. Praise the Lord for that. Friends, as we enter into a brand new year, I hope that we can start afresh. We can start with a resolve in our hearts to put the old behind. And the old, I'm referring to the old sinful habits we all have. For example, telling lies, being selfish, greedy, even using vulgarity, cursing and swearing, and always being angry, complaining, feeling bitter, impatient, jealousy, envy. Those are the old things. You see, as a professing Christian, meaning we have accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior and we have been baptized, God's word says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It means that when we receive Jesus as our personal Savior, we are a new person. We are born again. And we put off the old self. And then the sanctification process, the molding process begins at that time and it will continue. God will continue to mold us and make us until we are promoted to glory. Now, how have you been since you believed and accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord? How have you been? Have you ever reflected upon your salvation? I'm not referring to the number of years that you have been a Christian. No, in our conversation just a few days ago, we were gathering and having fellowship. We were saying it's not the number of years that you are a Christian. There are some Christians who really shine for the Lord, even though they are new believers in the Lord Jesus. They really shine for the Lord. They really serve and glorifying God, serving the Lord with their life. They are young believers. And I really thank God. I thank God for enabling me. I'm not boasting. But I really thank God for empowering me to put off many of my bad and destructive habits. Many of you know, drugs, cigarettes, gambling, sex, vulgarity, and many other vices. By the grace of God, all these are behind me. And do you know that my life was full of darkness? Now, in recent years, God surfaces to me more hidden old things in my life. and these are no longer all those vices and all that. But I need to get rid of many other things. Selfishness, pride, hatred, bitterness, discontentment, impatient, very grouchy, complaining, and not being generous. So these are the things that God surfaced to me. For me to really examine and ask for forgiveness and the Lord to continue to work in my life. I know God has not done with me yet. He is still molding and He is still sharpening me for His kingdom. Now, another very important thing that I want you to know is this. When you put off something, you know, like the old or dirty clothes, after taking a shower, you know, you want to put on a new clothes, a clean one, right? When you remove something ugly or something dirty or useless, you want to replace with something clean, something nice, something beautiful, and even useful. Or else, it is empty, it is hollow. You know, Jesus shared a parable in Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45. It says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. And so will it be with this evil generation. My brothers and sisters, we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, and we should have put off the old self. And the Holy Spirit will enable us, will help us to stop all those bad habits, all those bad attitudes that bring shame to our Lord. But without the enablement, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we cannot put off the old self. We cannot change. We will remain the same. We need divine power, not will power, not positive thinking, not how smart you are. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Put to death, put away the old self, those wrong attitudes, wrong behaviors, evil speeches, cursing and swearing. Now, this is important. You don't just want to put off. You need also to put on. Some people become Christian. They stop doing some bad things. They go to church every Sunday, but they still live pretty much the same. Very worldly, and they are very empty. They do not put on Christ. They do not grow as Christians to be more like Christ. They are always baby Christian, even though they may be Christian for 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years, but you look at their life, There is no transformation. There is no Christ-likeness. What happened? I have known people who put off stopping some bad vices and bad habits. But you know what? They replace other vices. Basically, it means changing from one sin to another sin. I think I shared this before. You know, the Hokkien says, wa teng bo wa yo. Okay, let me just explain. That means you change the soup, the water, but you never change the ingredients or the herb. You see, change must be coming out from inside. Not just the surface, you know, just... So putting off is important, yes. But it is equally important to put on the right thing and not the substitute of the old vices or old things, old sins or other sins. You must not only stop stealing, withholding, but start giving. Start being generous. And here I just want to suggest a few things that I believe Paul, the Apostle Paul, wants us to put on in these verses that we have just read. Paul acknowledged that they have put on the new self. They have been chosen. They have been set apart. They are Christian now. And he says that they need to put on some specific characteristics of Christ. Characteristics of the new self. We find this in verses 12. Compassionate hearts. Kindness. Humility, meekness, patience, and love. So the new self the Christian put on begins with these personal behaviors or attitudes. And this list suggests attitudes and behavior that we ought to cultivate or to develop as God's people. We cannot remain as baby in Christ. How we ought to treat one another in the church, not just in the church, but also outside the church. So first, compassionate heart. And Jesus is our great example of a person that is filled with compassion. Jesus was so moved with compassion for people that he wept for them. Jesus cried in Luke 19 verse 41. He fed them. He healed them. Jesus was full of compassion. He is always in the business of helping or reaching out to people. I remember in one of my pastoral counseling sessions, I was so moved with compassion that I wept. And I received this comment, unprofessional. On another occasion in my pastoral counseling session, I cried during my prayer for them. But thank God, this time they never say that, oh, I'm unprofessional. They deeply appreciated my prayer. They did not say I was unprofessional. Your compassionate heart may or may not be appreciated or even take advantage of. You know, sometimes people will take advantage of your weaknesses. Doesn't matter to me. Be compassionate as your Savior is. Christians should be compassionate, should be the greatest helpers of the poor, the blind, the sick, the needy. You see, my heart is always very warm when I witness our brethren, God's people, reaching out to the needy and showing compassion and loving one another. They always, you know, put other people's need. And I'm very sad when I see members behave very selfishly, always thinking of themselves only. Yes, we need talented people. We need capable and professional people. And we thank God in our midst we have many. But more than that, we need people with compassion. We need compassionate people. And I like this quote. Compassion is love in action, rooted in a tender heart. Let me repeat this again. Compassion is love in action, rooted in a tender heart. Do you have compassion? Do I have compassion for people? Kindness. Now, this is the virtue of a man whose neighbor's good is as dear to him as his own. And the good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, it came upon a bitter man who was his enemy and bound the wounds, took him to an inn, spent a significant amount of money and cared for him, and all at personal cost to himself. That is a very good example of kindness. Your act of kindness can be a shower of blessing, a very powerful tool to impact others for Christ. And personally, I have experienced that. I have experienced the kindness of God's people. When I was just a very young Christian, and their kindness really impacted me. No, to want to follow Christ. When you are kind, people will draw to you. And when people draw to you, you can share Christ with them. You can impact them. Are you a kind person? Are you a compassionate person? Next, humility. The attitude that esteems other better than yourself. Well, this is difficult, I believe. We always think that we are better. I'm better. Humility, it is the opposite of pride and human comparisons. We like to compare with one another. Rather, humility, it compares itself always and always only to Christ. You want to compare? Can. Compare to Christ. And when we do that, there's no place for self-confidence, for pride, for arrogance. No, at this juncture, I just want to say this. My beloved brethren, it is my privilege and my honor and my humility to be able to serve as your under-shepherd. And I thank God for using me, a broken vessel. And I thank you for giving me this opportunity to serve you, even though I'm unworthy. Meekness. And I really like this word, you know. And I like the definition. There are all kinds of definition of meekness. You know, some of them say gentleness, and it is a strength brought under control, a non-contentious spirit, with a willingness to suffer injury rather than inflict it. And this quotation from A.W. Tozer is very fantastic, but it's a little bit long, but let me just read out to you. The meek man is not a human mouse, afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. I always think that I'm very inferior. Rather, he may be in his moral life as bold as a lion and as strong as Samson. But he has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows he is as weak and as helpless as God declared him to be. But paradoxically, he knows that at the same time he is in the sight of God of more importance than angels. Okay, but you forget all this, never mind. Just remember, in himself, nothing. But in God, everything. That is what, you know, sometimes I'm nothing myself. I'm totally nothing. But in God, I'm everything. Without God, I am totally doomed. I am totally doomed without God. Next, patience. Another translation of long-suffering. A word always related to how we respond to people, but not circumstances. To be patient, to be long-suffering. God brings people into your life that make you suffer long. Praying for patience. And this is a very interesting story, which I think I heard sometimes and I shared before. The joke goes like this. A man goes to his pastor and tells him how much he needs more patience. I think we all need patience, right? And so he asked the pastor to pray for him in this matter. And the pastor agrees and suggests that they pray right away. And he prays that this man would have trials come into his life and have many, many problems. So be careful when we ask God for patience. Because patience develops only when you are undergoing trials. Or else, your patience is not tested. Bo pake, no, tak pake. The next is verse 13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against you, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Bearing with one another is putting up with each other, even when the other feels or acts differently from what is expected. And I believe I experienced this a lot, of this bearing one another and forgive one another. A lot, I mean, with my family, not with you all. Okay? With my wife and my children. You know, we irritate, we anoint each other a lot, we provoke each other, we shout at each other. You know, sometimes we even scream and scold each other. But we are still family. We forgive one another. We continue to try our best with the help of God to love and to forgive and to build and to strengthen one another in the Lord. We don't bear grudges. Now, many years ago, Elder Chia was my English teacher. He spent his precious time and his energy teaching me English, as English is not my first language. And a lot of you hear my English, you scared that you run away. I know that my initial years ago. And I really thank Elder Chia for bearing with me, you know, for his patience with me, because I was a very slow learner and I cannot pronounce words well. What I'm trying to say is this: the closer you are together. You know, I spent 1 week, at least three, four hours with Elder Chia. There was a time. When you are close together, you are working together in the ministry or project, there will be trials and errors, there will be disagreement, there will be clashes of ideas, you know, different methods of doing things. There will be a lot of rubbing of shoulders. They are all inevitable. So we need to bear with one another, forgive one another, based on the forgiveness that we received from God. God has bestowed grace on us and forgive us. Therefore, we must forgive each other. Okay, I must quickly go to the next. The Apostle Paul tells us to make allowance for each other's fault and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Each one of us has faults. We have our shortcomings, weaknesses, and we are far more likely to notice someone's faults than our own fault. That's why the Bible show us who we are. In Matthew 7, verse 3, it says, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" You see, that is very often our problems. We always see the small, small things, you know, in others. But we don't recognize that it's the big problem with ourselves. So recognizing that each one of us has weaknesses, we are called to forgive anyone who offends us. And we must be very clear. Paul tells us, since the Lord forgive us, we must forgive others. We must take the initiative, not waiting for others. Okay, and then lastly, verses 14 and 15, he says, "Above all this, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ root in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Love, above all this that we have just mentioned, compassionate, kindness, patience, forgiveness, we are to put on love. Because love is the umbrella that generates these actions. Compassion, kind, humble, patience, forgiveness. Love means we are seeking out the best interest of others. We are concerned about others ahead of ourselves. Love binds everything in perfect harmony. Love is what will prevent splits and strifes. And love will seek restoration and unity with one another in Christ. And unity will exist when loving the soul of another exists. So love is very, very important. Many of you have been to my house. And if you notice, there are many plaques that is on my wall with this verse: "Love fails not." And I'm not just talking about, you know, words and all this, but this is to remind me, because as human nature, love sometimes doesn't come so easy. And especially we are always, you know, very self-loving and all that. So love is very important. Love will seek restoration and unity. So my brothers and sisters, I just want to repeat this to you, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Yes, in Christ we are a new creation. We are born again. We are regenerated. Our old self is buried, is gone, and we are imputed with Christ's righteousness. And through the sanctification of God's word, of the Holy Spirit, prayers, and other means that God's grace, we may really be sanctified and be more and more like Christ. So may God help us, enable us to strive in the year 2023. Whatever is behind, just leave it behind. Put on the new characteristics of Christ. May this be our resolve, that in 2023 we want to try our best to be more compassionate, to love others, to be more kind, to be more patient, to be more humble, forgiving, and above all, to demonstrate God's love. The Lord our God is in the business of transforming His people in the likeness of Christ. And as long as we are willing to put ourselves in the potter's hand, He will mold you and He will graft you into His perfect plan. And I can tell you, by the end of 2023, you will see changes in your life. You will be more loving, more caring, more kind. So if things are bad right now, you know, it will get better. If God can part the Red Sea, remember the responsive scripture reading. If God can part the Red Sea, resurrected the dead, and put rivers in the desert, He can. And He will work all things for His children's good and for His glory. So praise the Lord for that. Okay, I would just like to end now by just asking you to repeat God's word together with me, and I will close in prayer. Okay, so may I encourage you to repeat this with me. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all this, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen. Let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Oh, our most gracious and loving Shepherd God, we thank you. We thank you so much for the year 2022. And with all your grace and all your blessings, oh Lord, we thank you. And as we move forward to another year, 2023, we are assured and confident of your continuing guidance, your leading, your providence, and your protection. Oh Lord, for the year to come, inspire and cheer us to put on compassion, kindness, humility, patience, forgiveness, and above all, to put on love. Indeed, our lives reflect the characteristic of our Savior Jesus Christ. And may we draw to Jesus and to give glory to Him. Our Father God, as we prepare ourselves now to come to the Lord's table, O Lord, we seek your forgiveness, that we may partake of the elements of the bread and cup with a worthy manner. So we thank you for the Lord Jesus for inviting us to the holy sacraments. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.